1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Champagne corks popping in Israel after word of an agreement between Israel and Hamas on the first phase of President Trump's peace deal for Gaza. Prime Minister Netanyahu says he'll convene his cabinet for its stamp of approval today. The BBC's Yolande Nell on what happens after that.
Following the Israeli troop withdrawal, we should have a 72-hour window. That is the time when Hamas is expected to bring back all of the hostages. They should be 20 believed to still be alive, and the bodies of many of the deceased.
Mona Yacoubian at the Center for Strategic and International Studies on possible roadblocks.
It's going to be very hard to achieve the demilitarization of Gaza, which is what the 20-point agreement calls for. So the devil is always in the details. To what extent is Hamas going to be willing to give up its arms?
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The 2025 cranberry harvest in Wisconsin is projected to dominate production for the 31st year in a row. Roughly 250 cranberry growers in the Badger State are expected to produce 65% of the global supply this year.
So we're on a cranberry marsh. I will say in Wisconsin we call them marshes, not bogs.
That's Holly Herline. She's the communications manager for the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. At this time of year, cranberry beds are flooded for what's referred to as a wet harvest. Despite popular belief, cranberries don't grow in water.
You do see lots of water here, but that's also unique to harvest. They are not in water all the time. They're grown on like a woody vine in soil.
Only 5% of the annual cranberry crop is sold as fresh berries. That portion is harvested gently to avoid bruising the fruit. Herline said fresh cranberries are only available in the stores from roughly October to November.
You really can only buy fresh berries around that time frame, so we recommend people to stock up. They freeze really well for a year.
Even though Wisconsin produces more cranberries than anyone else, it's still a relatively small crop compared to others in the state. Herline says different growers harvest in different ways, and equipment is mostly constructed by the growers themselves.
They are a very innovative bunch. They are not just farmers. They are engineers and mechanics and scientists and all the things. So very interesting.
The USDA National Agriculture Statistics Services projects the Wisconsin 2025 cranberry harvest to reach 5.3 million barrels. The cranberry industry is valued at just under $1 billion and employs nearly 4,000 people in the state. Wisconsin agriculture as a whole contributes over $116 billion annually to the state economy. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Cubs beat the crew.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Cubs last night, 4-3 in Chicago. The Cubs scoring all of their runs in the first inning. Brewers starter Quinn Priester struggled, giving up three runs and was pulled after just 39 pitches.
Very frustrated. First inning, the only inning, command wasn't good and stuff wasn't coming out the way I'd wanted it to. And, everyone else played real well, with the exception of myself.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy on the 25-year-old Priester.
I think the moment got to him a little bit. I think this is, again, he's not technically a rookie, but it's his first postseason appearance and had a long layoff. It's in his hometown. Yeah, I feel for him.
So Milwaukee still leads the best of five series, 2-1. Game four is tonight at Wrigley Field. First pitch, 8:08 p.m. NBA, the Bucks host the Detroit Pistons tonight in a preseason matchup. Tip-off time, 7 o'clock. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 65 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening. Could catch a shower or an isolated thunder shower late tonight. Our low 48 tomorrow. Becoming partly cloudy with a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin!
Join us Saturday. It's the Badgers and Hawkeyes at Camp Randall. Our coverage begins at 4.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, is it normal for a government official to take $50,000 in cash in a fast food bag? Jim Santel, host of Amicus, the Law Review, will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. And now, live from Dallas, where there's one star on their football helmet because that's their average rating on going to the Super Bowl. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
You weren't even going to give me a rim shot for writing that one, were you? Okay.
No. I'm sorry, no.
Producer Parker Olson welcomes us in to get going. Good morning, Wisconsin. It's 6:06. Hopefully another beautiful morning up north. And from wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or listening or watching us on all the different platforms that are out there, we appreciate starting your day right here. I got a question for you. Have you lost hope already, or was yesterday just a blip? Apparently you can't sweep the Cubs after all. We keep forgetting they actually did have a pretty decent season, and we have had our moments, and Quinn Priester had his moment yesterday.
Yeah.
That one was rough.
Yeah, I feel for that kid. That was bad.
I do too. We had such a streak of games where the team did well when he was pitching, but his last two starts, not so much. And I don't know the degree to which people, you know, miss Bob Uecker with the Brewers in the postseason, but I felt there was a little bit of Uecker yesterday out there with Priester having a really tough time hitting the strike zone. I could hear Uecker going, ball four, ball eight.
Ball eight.
Ball 12.
Yeah.
And then giving up a couple of home runs, and he was done after two-thirds of an inning. How many? It was not a lot of pitches either. It was, what was it? 39 pitches.
I mean, 39 for an inning, pitches, that's a lot of pitches.
And that's in the top of the first inning, and it just was not working out. And so that made the difference as the Brewers fell to the Cubs 4-3. Now look, the Brewers, they still lead the best of five series, 2-1. And so despite missing out on the sweep, they could still take the series tonight at Wrigley Field. And once again, being down here in Dallas, you can't find that stuff. There's all kinds of other things that people would rather watch on their TVs while I was out and about. But I was able to listen to the local radio broadcast through my phone, and then I didn't. I was just like, okay,
bad,
well, yeah, we're just going to set this aside and do stuff with the family here. Figuring that, you know, again, we'd have tonight, and hopefully I'll actually be home tonight by the time that the game starts, because it's a late game. Tony already had our first comment on YouTube. Cubs suck. Well, it's tough losing to them. Yes. And Roger gets on Facebook to say that rating for the Dallas Cowboys, that's one star too high. Yes, it is. But you got to poke a little fun with them while you can. Down here in what is still hot Dallas, and I'm telling you, do you remember just a couple of weeks ago how much I was whining that we were getting,
it was starting to cool off,
the chilly weather, and yeah. I'm like, hey, summer needs to last a little longer.
Yeah, well, I could use some really good 80 degrees stuff.
Yeah, well, it turns out I was just a little premature, is all.
Because
I have artificially extended my summer, and I am ready to be done with it. So,
what's the temperature looking like down there?
It's going to be 90 plus again down here. And of course, it's just the way the sun hits everything. It just feels a lot hotter, but it's a dry heat, right? So you only feel like you're in an oven.
And yeah, I was going to say, it sometimes only feels like you're on fire.
A convection oven when the wind blows just right. But anyway, it's been a nice visit. It will get back, and the Brewers will get back too. Roger notes here in the comment section, the crew started to chip their way back. They had their chances, and it's true. They're, you know, if Jake Bowers, you know, can connect on his last at bat, if Caleb Durbin, you know, actually makes a slide into home, maybe he beats a tag. So, you know, it was not all on Quinn Priester. It's just, you know, that was the scene setter, shall we say.
It was. I went into that game. I don't know if many Brewer fans will admit this, but I went into that game expecting us to lose because, frankly, sweeping the Cubs is just too good to be true.
Yeah. I was not, you know, at all assuming that there was going to be anything like that. You know, these things happen. And you just go for it again tonight. Remember the first couple of games, how Sherry had said
they always come from behind.
Yeah. They always come from behind. And so, you know, when we scored in the top of the first, Sherry's like, oh no, we can't do that. And then sure enough, in the bottom of the first is when Quinn Priester, you know, gave up all that he gave up. And Sherry was like, see, so apparently my wife is much more of a sports predictor than any of the rest of us.
Oh, so she should get into betting.
No, that's not going to happen. Tony tells us that it's 34 in Ashland right now. Roger says it's 36 in Stevens Point. Tony said he had the fireplace going yesterday and loved it. And that is awesome. And in fact, in a little bit, in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to tell you about some of the places you could go to see some fall colors and do some fun things around Wisconsin. Sherita Booker is off this week, but we'll go through the list of things that she would normally be talking about otherwise in terms of places that you could go and things that you could do. I'm looking forward to getting back to seeing if the leaves have already fallen there. How much am I going to be raking versus, you know, at some point you get the lawn tractor out and you go, yeah, we're just going to crunch all these up, you know. And then the lawn looks like you're using Kellogg's cornflakes as a fertilizer. But
what could go wrong with that?
It beats raking. I would much rather mow it and blow it than have to rake all that stuff up.
Raking and shoveling are probably the top two terrible yard work things.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. So if I can avoid that, I'm happy. I'm always happiest when and every house is different depending on how things. What's that?
When you don't have to do hard labor?
Well, yeah, there's always that. But when Mother Nature helps out, and again, depending on how everybody's house is laid out, in our case, if we get a south wind at just the right time of year that just blows all the leaves onto the bank, you know, or a west wind will put them all in the tree line over there, and that'll be fun. But then you get other days, it's just like you cannot catch a break from the wind, and it just piles things up in a way where you got to go get it. But that's, you know, that's home ownership. Comes with the territory.
There you go.
In some of the other baseball series, the Yankees lose. They're the first team eliminated in the American League Division Series, with Toronto winning last night 5-2. The Detroit Tigers forced a deciding fifth game after beating Seattle 9-3. So Detroit and the Mariners will face off in Seattle Friday night to see who will take on Toronto. In the other National League series, the Phillies, like the Cubs, avoided being eliminated yesterday, beating the Dodgers 8-2. And so tonight, the Dodgers will have the early game, 5 o'clock Central Time, against Philadelphia. And then the Brewers will have the late game, 8 o'clock tonight, against the Cubs. Parker's not happy about this.
It's just so stupid. Why is the West Coast team the early game?
Why are
game?
They getting a day game? Yeah, I know. All season long, we can't catch those games because they start at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And now in the postseason, they decide to have a day game. And so now we have to start at 8 o'clock at night. I know.
I wonder who I should be blaming for that. The league or
TV,
the networks?
Just TV. Just the networks. Yeah. It's all about the money. But it does mean that you can catch the game here on some of the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network, with the pregame starting at 7:30 tonight on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and in Hayward. So again, some baseball action. Just getting the weekend going, because we got the baseball tonight. We got high school football on several Civic Media stations coming up, of course, on Friday night. Then on Saturday, you've got the Badgers against the Iowa Hawkeyes. Coverage begins, the pregame begins at 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon on some stations across the Civic Media Network. If, heaven forbid, the Cubs win tonight, then the deciding fifth game of the National League Division Series would be back at American Family Field Saturday night, I want to say. So, again, we'll have details tomorrow. But hopefully what we're telling you tomorrow is that the Brewers win tonight, and that'll make a Saturday game unnecessary. And then we get to Sunday, and that, of course, has the Packers back in action after the bye week. They will be taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. Coverage will begin at 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon for a 3:25 kickoff for the Packers, getting set to face quarterback Joe Flacco.
Again.
And no, that's not a mistake. You're not listening to a rerun from a month ago. We're not playing Cleveland again. If you missed it, there was a rare trade inside a division where Cleveland made a trade with Cincinnati and sent Joe Flacco to the Cincinnati Bengals, because they've got a couple of banged up quarterbacks. And they confirmed that Joe Flacco will start against Green Bay on Sunday afternoon. And recall that the Browns beat the Packers, and the Packers since then have only played Dallas to a tie and then had a bye week. So they're actually seeing Joe Flacco for the second time in three games, but with a different team. Something you almost never, ever see in the National Football League.
And still in the state of Ohio.
And still in the state of Ohio, too.
Exactly. He's getting passed around the AFC North like crazy. It's really weird.
I know. So we'll see him at Lambeau Field coming up on Sunday. Again, pregame will begin at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Tony asks, is he bringing Myles Garrett, too? No, then he's not worried. So there you go.
Fair.
Got that figured out. Let's see. So we've got all of your, we got your sports all up to date, right? Did I hit all the high notes, I believe? Yes, I did.
Yeah,
okay. So tomorrow is Friday. We'll hopefully be back at the Lake Wissota studio at that point, and we'll talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Mike Clemens will tell us more about, you know, the Packer game, and also, you know, whatever happens with the Brewers tonight. We'll have our regular week in review panel, and I'm quite confident I will have airline stories as well.
Oh, God.
Fly yes. Later today. And I've now learned that getting to the Dallas airport is just an experience in and of itself. Oh, and did I mention there's construction there, too? No, I didn't mention it. I didn't really have to. If I mention a big, you know, metropolitan airport and I say construction, you're going to say, well, of course there
duh.
Is.
You
know,
yeah.
It's like painting the Golden Gate Bridge. You know, you finish all the construction in all the things, and then you start all over again. Which I also noticed at Twin Cities Airport flying out of there. I mean, that gold concourse, the G concourse, doesn't feel like it was, you know, remodeled that terribly long ago. It's all torn up again for another remodeling job.
Well, you know, nothing is ever permanent. But
well, especially at airports, I'm like, who gets the cushy gig of deciding, yes, we're about to spend a lot more money to tear this stuff out that we recently put in. And every one of them is getting more and more mall-like, you know? I mean,
yeah,
you kind of forget you're about, and I think it's to make you forget that you're about to be put on the cattle car there, you know,
yeah.
with the little teeny tiny seats and the bumpy ride, and if you're lucky, a tiny bag of pretzels, you know? So prior to that, if they put all these shops in here and all this ambiance, you know, and all this food and drink, you'll forget what awaits you, at least temporarily.
Yeah, you know, I don't travel a ton. I had flown, I think, well, technically twice in my life, one way there, one way back. I could go without the experience of flying and those people.
Yeah, I mean, I have traveled, you know, in some ways that were very nice, luxurious, but those are rare, special occasions.
Yeah.
And again, much like the airports themselves, just seek to remind you that, hey, unless you're paying four digits for your ticket, you're going to be back there in the cattle car. Anyway, more ahead here on this Thursday morning. It's October 9th, live from Dallas. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, Sherita Booker is off, but still plenty of weekend events to tell you about, including the celebration of a Wisconsin governor from the late 1800s in Fort Atkinson this weekend, a former governor remembered as one of the pioneers of dairy farming in Wisconsin. Got that coming up in just a sec, but I haven't even gotten around to telling you what's on the program today, and that includes Congressman Mark Pocan, who will be joining us at 7:35 this morning. Naturally, we'll talk about the government shutdown. We'll also talk about how the congressman is fresh off a new round of town halls. You know, those town halls that allow members of the public to sound off about their distraction or their dissatisfaction over Republicans shutting down the federal government instead of passing a new federal budget. What's notable is that the town halls that Mark Pocan has been doing this week weren't held in his congressional district, the 2nd District. Instead, he was touring the 3rd congressional district since Congressman Derek Van Orden can't be bothered to take questions from the general public. So we've got Mark Pocan coming up at 7:35. And then at 8:35, we'll be talking to Joe Zepecki. In part, we'll talk about some new talks at the state capitol and how they're being framed as an effort by both Republicans and Democrats to bridge a long disagreement over who should pay for sites contaminated by those PFAS industrial chemicals. The thing is, there's not really much of a disagreement to bridge. The divide is over whether to protect industrial polluters or not. Republicans say that state laws should exempt people like farmers who spread industrial sludge that was later found to have harmful PFAS. And Democrats agree. You can have exemptions for people like farmers. You just can't word those exemptions in such a broad way that they also lump in the industries that created the chemicals in the first place. So we'll talk to Joe about that and other topics like the 2026 race for governor, which no longer includes State Attorney General Josh Call, but might include former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. So we'll have that. We'll talk to Chad Holmes along the way, James Kelly from our Chippewa Falls newsroom. Todd Alba will tell us what's coming up on his program a little later this afternoon as well across the Civic Media Radio Network. So all that is on the way. But first, again, let's tell you some of the things that you could be hitting this weekend as you get to traveling around the state. And I just have to bring Parker into this because I need from him to know which one he would go to if he could. So here we go. We've got in Janesville, the Enchanted Forest and Hollywood Hayride. That's happening through Saturday.
Okay.
In Menominee Falls, there is the Old Falls Oktoberfest German Beer Garden at the Old Falls Village Park. In Two Rivers, there's the 41st Annual Apple Fest. That will be Saturday in Central Park. In Waupaca, they're having the 715 Harvest Fest on Saturday to benefit the Waupaca County Dive and Rescue Team. Saukville has Autumn Farm Days at Pioneer Village on Saturday. Neillsville has their Autumn Harvest Celebration on Saturday at Town Square. In Fond du Lac, they've got the Fondy Falltoberfest and the Wisconsin Great Pumpkin Way Off. That's Saturday at Lakeside Park. Let's see there. And then up in Cable, there's the Mount Telemark Enduro. So that's where you take your mountain bikes, your trail bikes.
Sure.
And they're basically starting at the top of Mount Telemark, and then you're speeding downhill down this mountain on these dirt paths on your bike, which, I mean, seems like a perfectly good way to take however many hundreds or thousands of dollars you've spent on your bike and, you know, yeah. crash it into a tree or just tear it all up on the trails. And
that seems like a good watch.
It seems like a very good watch. Although I will admit that, again, if you could go back in time and maybe do some things a little bit differently, that's one of those activities I think I might have actually taken up.
Because
I never did take up, like, you know, mountain biking or motorbikes, yeah. you know, or anything like that. I kind of wish I had back in the day now. So yeah. that one actually looks fun. I mean, right up until the moment, like I said, that you hit the tree.
Yeah.
But if you can avoid that, it's all real good. There are all kinds of pumpkin fests and events at wineries and marathons, and you can see all this at travelwisconsin.com. Did any one of those stick out for you as where you would go if you
had the wherewithal? I kind of tuned out after the beer garden thing.
We got you there.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that got me pretty good.
That's just fine. And then there's one more that I wanted to mention, and that is in Fort Atkinson. And this weekend, they mark Governor Hoard Day. Widely considered the father of the Wisconsin dairy industry, William Dempster Hoard played a prominent role in the development of the School of Agriculture at the University of Wisconsin. And he began the first national dairy magazine in the country. And people are still reading Hoard's Dairyman to this day. And I did not know until putting this segment together that the Hoard and Hoard's Dairyman was William Dempster Hoard, former governor of the state of Wisconsin. Hoard's advocacy of high standards for the dairy industry, his promotion of scientific dairying and farmer education were vital to the growth and development of dairying in Wisconsin. Using his weekly newspaper in Fort Atkinson, Hoard persuaded farmers who were losing money due to poor soil and crop yields to switch from crops to dairy. But then there was controversy. Hoard's time as governor was marked by controversy over the Bennett Law, which required public schools and all private schools to teach in English. And that angered a lot of the German immigrants who had a large parochial school system that was taught in German. So back then, governor's terms were 2 years long instead of 4 years long. And after 2 years, he lost his bid for re-election in 1891. He then became an ally of Robert La Follette Sr. and was involved in creating the progressive faction of the state Republican Party. So in Fort Atkinson this weekend, there will be an annual event to mark Governor Hoard's birthday as well as mark his Civil War service. So there you go. You get a little bit of Wisconsin history in there along with some ideas of things that you could be doing for this weekend. All right, we will be back in just a bit for today's history lesson. Stick around for that. It includes Beethoven hitting number one on the pop charts as a disco tune. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR. Make America healthy again. It is a phrase that brought some anxiety to production agriculture. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. But now it looks like at least dairy is finding a way to get along with MAHA. More on that next.
Imagine a future where farming fuels the planet. On Thursday, October 9th at 7 p.m., join us at UW-Eau Claire's Davies Student Center Dakota Ballroom for the Imagine Lecture, Innovations in Sustainable Agriculture and Energy. Dr. Lisa Schulte Moore will show us how Midwest farmers are turning prairie grass, food waste, and manure into clean energy, building a circular bioeconomy that strengthens rural communities and protects our land. Free and open to the public, come curious and leave inspired.
Greg Dowd is the president and CEO of the National Milk Producers Federation. He said that dairy is fitting in nicely with the nutrition policy reviews going on through the Trump administration and the Make America Healthy Again movement.
What they are talking about is really an important change in how we feed ourselves as human beings. And the fact that, you know, we've got to get away from all this ultra-processed stuff that we're in. I think everybody kind of agrees with that. It's just a matter of how you define it, and I don't know what that is and what that looks like. And we need to get back to more protein in our diet. But I think for us in dairy, there is this huge recognition that fat in dairy isn't bad for you. It's good for you. It's brain food. It's a critical thing that helps your body function.
Greg Dowd, president, CEO of the National Milk Producers Federation. He says, well, the next round of federal dietary guidelines is still under review. They're optimistic. He said the market's already responding to the Make America Healthy Again movement. Walmart announcing it's removing synthetic food dyes and about 30 other chemical ingredients from its U.S. food brands by January of 2027. And Wisconsin's only cottage cheese plant is expanding to meet skyrocketing demand for high protein foods.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Dig into Wisconsin's soil where good things grow. That's the theme for this fall's Ag in the Classroom essay contest. And to encourage fourth and fifth grade students to engage, they're holding a virtual author visit on November 5th with Peggy Thomas, author of The Soil in Jackie's Garden. More available on that at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke. Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 65 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening. Could catch a shower or an isolated thunder shower late tonight. Our low 48 tomorrow, becoming partly cloudy with a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins the show to make the popcorn pick of the week. Then joining me in studio is children's illustrator Rob Momartz. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
This is calm, it's gonna get you. Gonna knock you right in the head.
You better get yourself together.
We should be celebrating John Lennon's 85th birthday today. The former Beatle, born this day in 1940, and of course lost way too soon, way back in 1980. Again, John Lennon's birthday today. On his 35th birthday, back in 1975, was born his brother Sean. Sean Lennon is 50 years old today, half-brother to Julian Lennon. And on this day in 1965, so that would have been John Lennon's 25th birthday, the Beatles had a number one hit with Yesterday. So a lot of John Lennon connections to this October 9th, starting with his birth on this day in 1940. Also in today's history lesson, this is the anniversary of the birth of Charles Walgreen, an American pharmacist and businessman. I think we all know what business he started.
The Walgreen?
CVS is actually what he founded.
Ah.
No. It actually was Walgreen.
Oh, okay.
Again, he was born this day in 1873. Charles Walgreen passed away in 1939 after giving us a place where we could get our medications, get our photos developed, get all kinds of makeup and hair and personal products you didn't even know you needed. And of course, my favorite part of Walgreens now is the As Seen on TV shelf.
Oh boy.
You ever see that? All the things that you see on the infomercials, and they're right there. And I always stand there and I look at it and I go, maybe I really do need one of those little doohickeys.
Really? And I didn't think that'd be your thoughts.
I think about it and then I never do. I never
okay,
do.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's more like
it. On this day in 1936, Hoover Dam began to generate electricity and transmit it to Los Angeles. So you said you haven't done much traveling, so I'm going to assume Hoover Dam is not on that list of places you've been.
No, I have only been to D.C., basically.
Okay, so. Gotcha. We saw Hoover Dam in 2000. It was either 2000 or early 2001. So it was before the 9/11 attacks, because after that, they stopped giving the tours inside the dam.
Oh.
So I guess theoretically, I'm one of the last people, you know, to have actually gotten the tour inside of Hoover Dam, the hard hat tour.
Yeah.
Huh. Still have the hard hat to prove it. And I mean, it is as mammoth and impressive as you would expect. It's one of those things you still look at, and you do that about, again, the Golden Gate Bridge or a tall building or whatever, but you look at the quick and go, how did somebody design that and build that and have it still, you know, doing what it's doing today so well?
It seems like one of those things that you just kind of can't wrap your head around pure scale of it. Yeah.
Yes. But here's the thing, even though I can't wrap my head around it, I don't deny that it exists, which has always been my frustration with like anything else about science, where people go, oh, well, that's just your opinion that these vaccines work. No, it's actually people who are smarter than me who look into this stuff, you know. So just think of some of that stuff that you can't see, like Hoover Dam, that you can see. And trust the people that stayed in school a couple of weeks longer than you and me. That's all I'm asking. Another musical happy birthday today to Jackson Browne, who is 77 years old today. Jackson Browne, that's his real name. Well, his middle and last name. His birth name is Clyde.
Clyde?
Clyde Browne. Clyde Jackson Browne. And he decided that maybe going with Jackson Browne would be a better way to go.
That's not a bad Yeah. No, that's, yeah.
Oh, no. For an alternate point of view, Tony puts on Facebook, do your own research, Pat. Hoover Dam is a lie.
Oh, God.
Anyway,
it's all a hoax.
Jackson Browne was born this day in 1948 in Heidelberg, Germany, where his American serviceman father was stationed at the time. And it reminds me to mention, I hadn't mentioned this yet this week, when I was flying out to Nashville last week before coming to Dallas, I finally downloaded on my phone and started watching the Billy Joel documentary.
Oh.
And it is every bit as good as advertised. I mean, I'm only maybe halfway through the first part. It's a two-part thing.
Sure.
And so I still got a ways to go, but Jackson Browne features prominently in there as one of the, you know, all those young songwriters, you know, back then that were a bit of a fraternity and talking about Billy Joel's early life. And I still can't believe it. It's taken me all these months to finally get around to watching it, but it's going to be a great show watching on the flight home later today too.
What's the, I can't think of what it's called. There's a Beatles. It's not a documentary really. I think it's like they just had cameras running while they were writing songs. I can't think of which ones.
Yeah. Yeah. The one that came out, a year or so ago?
Probably. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I have started watching that one and I haven't finished it. So it's on my very long to-do list of things I got to get around to watching.
Yeah.
If you ever hear of the day that I hasten my retirement, it's because my list finally got to a point where I said, that's
it. Running out of time.
I got to just do that full time from this point on. Yeah.
There's not enough hours left in the day to watch all of these things.
Yes. A rockumentary, Tony asks on YouTube. No, I wouldn't call it a rockumentary.
Actually, I really like that.
Yeah, I know.
I'm kind of on board for that one, Pat.
Okay, good deal. Let's see. On this day in 1961, Ray Charles had the number one song in the country.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more.
Wait, you're telling me that Joe Biden didn't come up with Hit the Road, Jack?
No. Let's see, John Entwistle, bass player for The Who, born this day in 1944, passed away in 2002. Actor Tony Shalhoub with his Madison roots. He is 72 years old today. The popular children's show Thomas the Tank Engine premiered in the UK on this day in 1984. Look, you get that smile like you grew up watching a lot of Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, yeah. A lot of Thomas the Brain.
Aw, that's so sweet. The Fox Broadcasting Company launched as the fourth U.S. television network this day in 1986. Nobody thought it was going to last. You know, everybody was set in their ways. There was ABC, NBC, and CBS. And that's all there ever was, and that's all that there ever would be. And then Fox showed up with, you know, some unusual shows you would normally see on network TV, like The Simpsons, things that were a little more edgy, some would even say a little more raunchy. They got good ratings. Then they landed the National Football League games for the NFC and truly became a fourth network after that. It enabled them to spin off things like Fox News Channel, Fox Business Channel, and all the other things that have made TV just the wonderfully informative, educational, and good for democracy brand that we've come to expect from Fox.
It's a diverse TV guide.
Yes, put it that way. All right, on this day in 1976, the number one song was by Beethoven. Well, not specifically Beethoven, but Walter Murphy's take on Beethoven's Fifth. So the question becomes, if you could play this for Beethoven, is it the rolling in his grave thing? Like, what have they done to my song? Or would he be like, oh, yeah, I totally see why you did it that way in this day and age, meaning 1976.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Musicians,
composers
can be a little picky.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't like when you take their work and twist it in certain ways. But like I said, maybe others have a different view on it. Anyway, it was done by Walter Murphy and his Big Apple Band. And if Walter Murphy's name sounds familiar, he still does some TV and film composing work. For example, you see his name on the musical credits for Family Guy every week as well. Kurt Newman, the singer-songwriter and guitarist for the Bodines, is 64 years old today, born in Milwaukee. And then Steve from Blue's Clues is 52 years old today. So if you were big into Thomas the Tank Engine, Blue's Clues had to be something on the TV, too.
No, I'm not sure I saw any Blue's Clues, actually, no.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, Steve was one of them there. So there you go. Steve from Blue's Clues is 52 years old today. Let's see. From the standpoint of the National Day calendar, what did you find on there for us?
Incredibly light day again on the National Day calendar. But you know what? I think we've got one of the best international days of all time. It's International Beer and Pizza Day.
International Beer and Pizza Day.
Yep.
Was this thought up at a bowling alley?
I mean, certainly.
Because those three things go together perfectly. But yeah, Beer and Pizza Day.
Yeah.
I like it. One. That works. It even when we bought our current house 30 years ago, and you know we were in debt up to here, and you know we had lawn furniture in there for like the first year because we couldn't afford furniture, but at least we had the house. And when we signed the closing papers at the bank, we had just enough cash on hand to stop at the corner gas station and get they had slices of pizza and a six pack of beer.
There you go.
So we sat on our back deck of our newly purchased home with beer and pizza and said, well, let's see where this goes from here. And it turned out all right. Little did I realize that it would be marked by International Beer and Pizza Day 30 years later.
There you go.
Not that I'm taking all the work for it. What else do we have on the calendar today?
Yeah, World Sight Day. Pat, as two people with glasses, I think we can appreciate this day.
Oh, so S-I-G-H-T, not
yes,
S-I-T-E.
That day. Yes.
Okay. I do believe sight is important there. Yes, so let's make mention of that. By the way, in a follow-up, we've talked about the various cuts to programs, educational programs, and things like that, including cuts to a program to help with the education of deaf-blind children in Wisconsin. And I just wanted to do a quick follow-up that 1 year's worth of funding has been restored. It's being sent to this particular program, you know, through like a third party, but at least the program won't be ending, at least right away. Something worth noting on this World Sight Day. Anything else on the calendar?
National Curious Events Day.
Tell me more.
Curious Events, I believe it was defined as like a Bigfoot sighting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, yeah.
Have you had any curious events that are worth noting?
Well, I've seen some interesting things. I don't know if I'd call them curious events.
Okay. All right. And have what you do seen we have Bigfoot? From an entertainment news standpoint, or what other little non-hard news stories are you following?
LeBron James, I don't know if you saw this. He had the second decision.
The
second decision.
Like taking his talents to South Beach, that kind of decision?
Well, he teased it one day, and it kind of, people were going, oh, he might be retiring. Everyone else was like, oh, it's going to be an ad. And sure enough, it was an ad for Hennessy.
Okay.
A fan, though, thought that he was going to be retiring and bought two tickets to what would have been his last game. And now he's suing LeBron for the price of those tickets.
So LeBron teases, oh, I've made this decision.
Yes.
Which he didn't tell people was like a tease for a commercial. He just said, I've made this decision. A fan thinks he's going to retire, buys tickets to the game, what would have been the last game of the season. Yeah. He, of course, doesn't retire. But because this guy got fooled, he's now suing LeBron for the tickets.
For $865.66.
I hope the judge not only rules in favor of LeBron James, but tells this guy he's got to pay court costs of $865.10, because that's just
a little silly.
I know. All right. Still ahead this morning, of course, we will be talking to Congressman Mark Bocan. That's coming up at 7:35, where we will talk about the Trump shutdown here and whether Republicans are showing any signs of restoring some of the health care cuts that they've made earlier this year. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
And welcome back to our True Crime Podcast. Our guest today is Sean Cleary.
Wait, what? We are supposed to be doing a commercial about Cleary's storage, egg, and sports facilities.
Great point, Sean. It was a warm summer evening in 1978 when a young man with a hammer...
Whoa, again, not a true crime podcast. I want to talk about Cleary designing the building of your dreams.
In a world where things aren't what they seem.
Okay, give me that. Good grief. Visit ClaryBuilding.com today and experience the Cleary difference.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported recently on a Maine ballot initiative pushing restrictions on voter ID and mail-in voting. Then mysteriously, on September 30th, 250 unmarked absentee ballots from Ellsworth, Maine showed up in an Amazon package 40 miles away. The plot thickens. Maine Secretary of State Shenna Bellows announced that both Maine authorities and the FBI were investigating. Ellsworth's town clerk received two boxes of mail ballots September 30th and notified the Secretary of State's Election Division that one box was missing 250 unmarked mail-in ballots and that the box's security tape had been altered. 40 miles away, a Newburgh, Maine resident reported receiving an Amazon package which included her order and the missing 250 ballots. The resident brought the ballots to the Newburgh town clerk, who notified the Elections Division at 8 a.m. October 1st. But that day, pictures of the resident's beat-up and retaped Amazon box surfaced on social media, with messages decrying Maine's election integrity. The conservative Maine Wire news blog quoted the resident as saying, "I am greatly concerned for our state and its voting requirements." GOP legislators seized on the missing ballots as proof that question one should be passed. Secretary of State Bellows remarked, "To any bad actor involved, you will be caught and you will be punished." We've linked to the local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open, brought to you by the Hotel Mead. We'll tell you something good.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report for this October 8th, 2025. Have your host, James, here. I want to send a big shout out to our friends at Crockett Septic, sponsoring the half an hour and the time that we get with our good guests. And boy, do we got some great ones today. Friends, family, really, family natural foods. We have with us today Stephen and Katrina Hintner. Good to see you both. How you guys doing?
Great. Yeah. Thanks, James.
Yeah, thank we got a great list of things to get into today, but before we go ahead, I want to rewind a little bit. You guys had your big anniversary special over the past weekend. I heard nothing but great things about it from the community and people that were able to attend. How did it go? How did you guys feel it went?
Yeah, it was great.
It's always one of my favorite times of the year. I mean, it's so much work that Katrina and myself and all of our team put into it. And thank you to everybody back at the store right now who put in so much work on it. But it's just connecting with the community, and we love how people come in. You know, you like you always hear about this, and soon it's going to be Black Friday, right? And like about a month from now. And you always hear about these sales where people are like trampling people and they're elbowing and they're
like,
shouting
and
it's
mine.
And they're doing all this terrible stuff. And it's kind of like the low of humanity and consumerism ultimately.
Yeah.
But it's the opposite at our events. Like, you know,
Friends are meeting friends there.
Yep. Everybody's just kind of comes in, they hang out longer, they're chit chatting, they're getting free samples, they're trying new
foods. What are you getting? Oh, I've never tried that. I should try that.
Yeah. And we just feel real like outpouring from the community of gratitude.
Yes.
And it's also from us. Like, we're just like, it's a customer appreciation day sale. And it is celebrating our anniversary as well, but it's always like, wow, we're so grateful that we have such a great community.
It's a really interesting point, Steve. You know, I've been going there for so long. I've never really thought about this, but it's never been busier than on those days that I've gone in there.
Yeah. It's nutty.
I mean, it is really, really busy. But I have never felt like any like rush or rudeness or that energy that usually comes with a lot of people being in a building or in a retail setting or something like that. I've never gotten that energy. The energy remains the same. It's still just a wonderful welcoming
it's more
vibe.
Like a block party, you know?
It's
like a meeting of neighbors and friends.
Yeah. I've talked about it when we talked about the fellowship and the that being a fun part of the anniversary. Yeah. So I never thought about how that things still remain just as calm and collected and all that. Yeah. It's a very cool point.
And there's a few things we just want to mention. I mean, one, again, like Stephen was saying, thank you to the community for 79 years. Like, we feel this year the word honor came to my mind. Like, wow, I feel really like 79 years. I feel really like what gratitude and thanks I have for that. But I don't know. I we wanted to highlight, of course, we had awesome vendors. Like, they were all great. And we're going to do a sampling of one of our teas in a little bit that one of our vendors were there. But we wanted to highlight this man named Keith, who is part of Farm Aloe.
He's the MVP.
He is the MVP. We're going to talk about him for a minute. He deserves it because he's 92 years old. He is the founder of Farm Aloe. And so Farm Aloe is an aloe vera-based company. He started it over 50 years ago.
This guy made the longest drive. And he stayed the longest.
Yeah, and he's 92 years old.
When we talked to him about coming, he said, "Oh, what time do you open?" I said 9. A lot of the vendors don't show up till 10 or 11. It'd be great if you could stay until at least 1 or 2. You know, and he was like, "Oh, well, you open at 9, I'll be there at 9.
He was there before Steven and I got there, which we got there awesome. Early.
Yeah,
and
he was
got there
before like
earlier.
8:30, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you need to get something done, call a 90-year-old.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But yeah, his journey with aloe, like, he started 2 different aloe companies in his life, and it's quite a long life, obviously. And this is his second company, and he just does aloe. You know, like, he said, "Oh, I've always had people call me and say, hey, would you sell this? Like, the latest trendy thing. Would you do this? Would you do that?" His thing is aloe, and he does it the best.
And he's so genuine. He's like, it's simple. You just take aloe. It helps with all these things. And he doesn't take any pharmaceuticals. And he drove himself
over 3 hours drive.
His love is his business and helping people. And you can see he's always looking into research and learning about it.
And he's not content with where it is yet. You know, he's like, "Oh, this year it was going to be the biggest year ever because we came out with these aloe capsules that are more concentrated. They're 100% aloe, no other added ingredients." He said, "This is going to be on national TV pretty soon. We're doing clinical studies. We're starting with horses," which is kind of cool. Actually, I asked him how he started his company, and he said, "Oh, well, originally somebody gave him an aloe plant. There was no aloe supplements back then. There was just plants." And he was living down in New Mexico, and he just kind of had this plant in his house, like we all have plants, right? And he was like, "Oh, the person said it was good for, you know, healing things, but whatever." But his daughter had a horse, the horse like got caught on some barbed wire and like really mangled its legs. The vet said, like, "Hey, we got to put this horse down. Like, you can't heal this kind of leg. You can't tell a horse to stop moving, you know, et cetera, et cetera." And he was like, "Oh, like, I don't know. Like, let me talk to my daughter. Like, this is going to be hard." And then he thought, "Hey, I got this aloe plant." So the vet left, and he cut open the aloe plant, put 2 leaves of aloe, or I don't know how many leaves. It's a horse, probably huge, right? Put this on the horse, kind of taped it on. I don't know how he did it. But anyways, he said he put that on, and then he took it off a couple days later, and the leg was already healing.
Wow.
And he called up the vet after doing this a couple of times, and he said, "Hey, do you think, like, we can save this leg and the horse ultimately?" And the vet was like, "Whoa, I've never seen anything like this."
Wow.
And that started him on his mission for aloe.
He also was the first to freeze dry aloe, so that made it way more accessible. So he's, again, he's a pioneer in this.
Sold it around the world, multi-million dollar company.
Apparently, you know, aloe makes you look young, too, because there's a great picture of him on your guys' Facebook page. Encourage people to follow the page and support that. And he does not look 90 in his 90s.
No.
He's not he may look younger than me. He looks good.
He's in good shape.
And
you know,
he said he feels like he's in great shape.
My favorite part is I'd be like, well, how do you feel? He's like, I'm like, do you feel like you're in your 50s? He's like, I feel younger than that. And I'm like, wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, he feels half his age. Like, what's going on here? Like, I'm just like, okay, I'm going to take aloe. And he told us this story because he's like, oh, some people just say like, oh, it's genetics or whatever. But he says like, I had three siblings. They all died before they turned 65.
Yeah.
It wasn't car accidents or anything. All three of them died of, you know, health problems.
Wow. And his father was a heavy drinker and smoker, and Keith got him taking aloe. He stopped his bad habit.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Celebrations from Tel Aviv to southern Gaza after an agreement between Israel and Hamas on phase one of President Trump's plan that could finally end the war. Correspondent Deborah Patta has details from East Jerusalem.
There is a deal. Once the Israeli government formally approves it later today, Israeli troops will retreat to a defined line within Gaza. And that is when the 72-hour clock begins for Hamas to release all the remaining 48 hostages, living and dead.
It's believed 20 of them are still alive. CBS's Weijia Jiang is at the White House.
Netanyahu invited Trump to address Israel's parliament. President Trump says he is considering going to the Middle East this weekend. Stops could include Israel and Egypt, and he hasn't ruled out going to Gaza.
UN's Agency for Palestinian Refugees calls the agreement a huge relief. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.